We have so many stories in our lives, but our stories are not always heard. On the Hear My True Story podcast, we tell our own true stories.
Before the white car backed, our head teacher had scattered. Looking at him, I could only see his tie that was flying backwards, waving at us, and he disappeared in thin air.
I want to share my life story. I want to share my voice with the people because I know that just a small joke I can tell through this podcast, it will make someone smile.
When you ask me what I fear most in life, I would definitely respond to you and say it's fear itself.
We are fighting for togetherness. We are fighting for equal rights. We are fighting to end injustice.
You don't have to be a storyteller or writer because, guess what? Life writes the best stories.
Hear my true story.
If I don't get the certificate of C1, that's the end of my integration in the system. That's the end of me being employed anywhere.
Honestly, the moment I started feeling much more comfortable speaking the language, and that was after a few months in Germany, I think 3 months down the road, I was a bit, confident, in speaking and not really having to worry about the mistakes I made because I still made it clear to myself, German is not my mother tongue.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hear my true story.
Yes, my dear listeners, welcome to Hear My True Story podcast. It is me, your host, Otako, and what a wonderful month. It's the month of February, And a black African or European, black African, African Europeans who are living in Europe, the black Germans and Afro-Dutch people. Well, February is a month that we always appreciate and also celebrate the Black History Month. Anyway, what is so special on Hear My True Story podcast? We are going to be joined by a wonderful guest. For those who have been following Hear My True Story podcast, he's not such a new guest on the podcast. We have been with him. He has been telling his personal stories, sharing stories. Why should I say so much about him?
This week's special guest on your favorite podcast.
Hear My True Story.
Yes, my dear guest, I'm happy to have you on this wonderful podcast, Hear My True Story. Could you maybe introduce yourself so that the people who are listening to the podcast can know who is speaking behind the microphone or maybe who is in front of the phone talking to us right now?
Yes, I'm really so happy for having had the chance to be invited on this platform here. Yeah, my name is Aldo Onyango. And I'm a citizen of Uganda, of course, living in Germany and specifically in Hamburg. Exactly. So I don't know where to really start from, but I feel, I'm a little excited and just looking forward to, of course, what we are going to talk about here.
I want to personally ask, when I moved to Uganda, from Uganda to Germany, I didn't know so much the German language. I couldn't speak it so much. I was looking at you speaking the German language and I was like, wow, you are really fluent in German. So I was like, well, would I really manage to learn the German language? And for that reason, I want to ask you personally, what was your experience learning the German language?
So I would say, of course, first and foremost, I had the opportunity of working with some German volunteers in my former NGO in which I mainly operated during my time still back home in Uganda. And that was where the whole background of learning German, of course, started from. Being that I used to question them quite a lot about the language, how to greet, how to ask for water and all the like, just basic things. And afterwards, when I started studying, of course, I applied for a course at the Goethe Institute in Kampala. And that's where the whole journey of learning German at a very on a very serious note, you know, started from. And yeah, exactly. So by the time I came to Germany for my social year, I had already obtained a level that enabled me to talk to people, hold conversations, but of course, very simple conversations in most cases. And, you know, that is what I then, that is where I continued then from, applied at the Volkshochschule. And that's where, you know, I picked up from, you know, to still add onto my language. So generally, I had some background, but of course, generally, it wasn't an easy journey because sometimes, you know, we had things, of course, like trying to see when to use articles, like Didier Das, which was, I think, one of the greatest challenges I faced. No?
Yeah, me
and
too.
I guess you also understand that feeling, brother.
I understand that. Let me tell you something. It's so crazy. You know,
yes, yes.
I work in a kindergarten.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking with the kids, and then I said, "Das Hund." And then the kids said, "Otako, they are Hund."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay, thank you. I get to learn that now. I have not made another mistake with their Hund. That I know it now."
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how articles made me really always get confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't understand why there are so many.
Exactly, you know, and that is, I think, one of the problems one also normally asks, you know, and it's exactly that that same question I asked myself, and somehow it actually brought me to the conclusion of, you know, approaching my teacher to kind of like try to know from him why "di there das" is used, and he told me, "Hey, Onyango, I really can't explain everything to you, but all you need to do is to learn the articles by heart." That is all I had from my teacher. So I had no any clear explanation, but all I had to do was learning.
Yeah, you are right. And because in our mother tongue, we don't have these articles in Uganda. I mean, I speak Lusoga. We don't have these articles. Mm. We can't call the chair or the table, whether it is a he or a she. We don't decide these things.
Yeah.
We just say, it's a table, it is a chair, period, done.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's just the exact experience, of course, on my side also. Ne?
Yeah. So that was one of your challenges in learning the language, the articles?
Yeah. Mm, that was, the articles. Sometimes I had a word called, we had some words like, for example, the Eichhörnchen. And I remember learning it. I think I needed quite a whole week to really kind of like come to a point of saying it out and still get to be understood by people. You know, this was really not so easy for me, actually. No? And of course, I think also the pace at which the language was spoken. Sometimes, of course, when someone spoke at a very low pace, it was good. It was easier to grasp much of what they said. And when they spoke, you know, a bit fast, it made it a bit difficult to kind of like get most of the message, you know, from whatever they're saying, you know. So those are all challenges that, of course, came with the German language, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, yeah. But I don't know, you speak a lot of languages. You speak also English, yeah? Do you find a big, big difference between this German language and the English language as you from your personal experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really find a very big difference in these two languages, like when we talk about the article, no? So articles of did, there, does, you know, this is not something that we find, for example, in the English language, right? And in the English language, as far as I'm concerned, we have just a few, like they, and we have Kato or something like, I don't know, an apple. You don't have really so much of that, you know. So I find it probably also has really something to do with maybe having grown up, you know, speaking English, and that kind of so really kind of like created that kind of difference. And I have a feeling, you know, the German language is a bit aggressive, you know, in the way it sounds, you know. Things seem to really be said with a lot of energy, you know, and to me it sounds like a language of command, you know, somehow, you know. And whereas English, of course, on the other hand, you know, has really a kind of like smooth accentation. No? When people speak, you feel it's a bit light as compared to German.
I really get that. My experience with the language, my challenge, my only difficult part was always to write. That's where I had a challenge, because like when in 2022, I was trying hard to get the C1 certificate.
Yes.
And then I reached a moment when the school wrote me a letter that we are giving you the last chance. If you don't get the certificate, we are chasing you. And I'd passed my oral exam talking. I was talking well in school, at work, speaking, communicating well. But then I was not passing this written part of the German language. And I hated myself. That's the biggest challenge I had, passing to get a C1. They sent me a letter. I got frustrated. I hated anyone who spoke to me in English. I always wanted people to speak to me in German. And then at the point, I started hating myself that, is it me who has a problem of not understanding the German language? I'm also going to lose my school training because of the language. I hated the fact that as a child, I had to spend a lot of time learning English. And right now, I'm here in German being given ultimatum, a last chance. If I don't get the certificate of C1, that's the end of my integration in the system. That's the end of me being employed anywhere. Have you ever had that kind of experience, that kind of challenge where you hated yourself because of not speaking this German language?
Yes. I remember mainly around 2015. Of course, that was the time when I came for my social year. And like I said, I already came with some kind of background of language, right? But I had a feeling, you know, when in school, like I said before, people speaking a bit faster. That really made it so hard for me to actually understand. And I was like an assistant to a teacher in the higher level, you know, of that school. And it was still a bit challenging that I sometimes even felt like I didn't just want to go to work. And that is though not in my nature, because I normally like being around people, you know, amongst people, talking to people, doing stuff. And it's not used to this thing of chilling around, you know. And this thing of not being able to speak frequently, as you know, fluently, kind of led to the feeling of me sometimes wanting to even hide away from people, you know. And and I realized it was really putting a lot of pressure on me, you know. Sometimes I sat and I felt, you know, when I talk to someone talking quite slowly, it felt like, well, everything is good. I understand quite a lot. And I thought it would be still the same thing if I got a letter or if I got any kind of like book to read, like not very complicated ones. And I realized suddenly reading was even the worst. When I had to comprehend what was written in a letter or something also written in some book and all that. So sometimes I found I was just getting lost, you know? I was just getting lost, you know? And losing my complete orientation in the society, at work, and also in my private life, because I realized I couldn't run away from the German language. It followed me everywhere I went. I was like, what else am I left with, honestly? You know? Yeah. So there were also those very hard moments for me, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And that brings me to another thing that I wanted to talk with you here, is that from my personal experience, having got my C1, I got more self-confidence. I started speaking with confidence, speaking to people, saying, no, I don't care whether I speak the wrong German. Well, I have a C1 with me in my room. I don't care what you say. I passed. I don't care anything. And that had to drive my connecting with people more easier than before. I don't know what's your experience. Do you think really mastering the language really made you to really feel like, well, I'm really getting to the community. I'm able to communicate with people. I have my self-esteem that is really strong. Did you have such a thing?
Yeah, sure. Honestly, the moment I started feeling much more comfortable speaking the language, and that was after a few months in Germany, I think 3 months down the road, I was a bit, confident, in speaking and not really having to worry about the mistakes I made, because I still made it clear to myself, German is not my mother tongue. It's a language I learned at the age of 24. So that way, I gave myself that kind of like peace of mind and started coming out, talking to people. And I realized people were actually much more welcoming, even those who felt they weren't sure of what they would really have to talk with me in case they had actually come into a situation of getting in contact, and started also actually opening up to me and talking to me. And I realized most of them were asking me then questions. I started getting invitations to events and all that. And I realized also with the invitations to some of those events they went to attend, I felt I was very fast at accepting the invites, because I, at the end, still knew I would be able to find people to talk to while there. So I won't be this kind of guy who gets to be invited and I end up sitting in a corner and just watching everyone because I can't express myself in the language. So that way, I found myself really kind of like, joining much of those meetings and all that, or gatherings. And that way, life became better, actually.
Okay, well, then I get to understand that. So that makes it easier for someone to understand. Okay, now I'm happy. I can speak the language. I'm really getting there at that moment. So I don't know what's your experience, but for me, do you have any strategies of really overcoming? For me personally, my strategy, I'm learning the language up to date, although I have my C1 seated somewhere, but that doesn't make me a perfect language speaker for the German language. So I learn every day. I learn every day something new. Do you have strategies that you can personally share and say, from my experience, this has helped me to improve my language? For example, for me, to improve the German language is speaking with kids in the institution where I work. Listen to what they say. Whether it's right German or wrong German, then I get an okay. I read the books of the kids, then I get to understand, okay, there I have a chance to improve my language. And speaking the language every day, that has helped me as a person, as that's my strategy. I don't know about you.
I realize, most of the times, of course, I used to write on very small papers and I kind of like stuck them on my door. From the inside of the door, of course. And I had some of them on my walls in my room. And I did it in such a way that I put them exactly at those points that like at such a place that I couldn't actually ignore looking at. So that way, each time I was going out, for example, those papers that stuck on the door, I always saw when going out of the room. So there was no way I could prevent seeing those words I'd written down, or vocabularies, or whatever I'd learned, right? So that was my first strategy of learning language or improving. Secondly, I kind of like opened up to quite many people. And luckily, one thing I didn't say in the beginning was I had a very big community of internationals also working with me in the same institutions. We had people coming from Brazil, people coming from the Ukraine, Russia, and you have people coming from, I don't know, Georgia. And these are all people who weren't native speakers of the language. So somehow when we spoke, of course, we kind of like had the tendency, or it's a feeling I had at least that other people also had, having the tendency of listening to how other people speak. And we kind of like knew it wasn't our mother tongue, but we tried to give out the best we could each time we met. So you wanted to be the one with the best German when you met, actually. So that way I was given also the encouragement to speak. But when I made a mistake, I didn't have to fear making a mistake, because I knew I still had the same background like these people. They were also internationals, very new in Germany, and we are all in the same boat. you know, learning the language. So I wasn't worried to speak. I just spoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that also improved a lot of my language. And we have the Tagesschau. Tagesschau, like I really phone, you know, and it's one of the things, of course, I was talking about, you know, with quite many, many people. And also my wife, of course, also then told me, yeah, Onyango, you know, there's also this and this app, you know, it's it could help you understanding quite more about what's happening in the country. So we started with, first of all, the DW, program for German learners. And that was the first step. And as I got better at understanding the language more, I then turned to Tagesschau, where the German was even much more, more sophisticated. And I realized I was actually understanding quite a lot of it. So whatever I did understand, I wrote down. Of course, I always had to stop the phone at one point, wrote what I had. I took it back and repeated the same word, you know. And that way, I got quite a big kind of like, I collected a big, big volume of vocabularies that I, at a later point, started using. And that way, I also realized how better my German got. I tried also reading books. Of course, with some books, they were really so complicated. I thought children books would make it easier. But unfortunately, I was quite disappointed in those regards. So, but I still had to continue.
What made you get disappointed with the books,
yeah,
the kids' books?
Yeah, because when I heard about these books being, children books, I thought, yeah, the German there must be so easy, which was actually true when I look at it from this current point. From my current point of view, it was very easy German. But being that I wasn't really yet far in the language, I felt disappointed because it all felt still too hard for me. Yeah.
And then you were like, oh my God, I'm in a wrong position at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Né? And finally, of course, also, like I said, doing the social year in the school, I was, of course, there was no any other way, you know, to prevent speaking the German language. So for sure, it's the language I spoke every day while at work. So that also improved quite a lot.
Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. That's true.
Enjoying this episode? Leave a review now.
Hear my true story.
Well, and then that brings in something that I was thinking about. You know, when you come to Germany, that means you need to get to know their culture. But I don't know whether it's possible for someone to learn the culture of the country without learning that language. Yeah, to learn about the German culture after learning the German language. Then I'm able to understand, okay, well, that's why they're eating bread or kartoffel. That's why they're eating a lot of potatoes. Yeah, so learning the language has made me really, as a person, to understand the culture. I don't know about your experience.
I think, as in for me, I would also actually admit to the same fact, actually, because I realized the moment I started understanding more sophisticated German, I kind of like got also a chance being amongst people who were much, much older than me, and they were telling me quite a lot about what was happening in the country. And of course, we know, you know, there are really many, many regions here, and each region with its own kind of like culture or tradition. But of course, most of the things are quite alike here. So I realized, you know, when I learned more of the language, I had the chance to ask people about things and they could explain them to me, which wasn't, for example, the case during those times when I wasn't yet so fluent in the language. It was a bit hard, so I couldn't pose such a question. And that way, I also had no chance to access certain informations that would actually make me understand the culture even more, or the tradition, or the way people live their lives in Germany. Huh? So language for sure plays a very, very, very big role in those regards. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. And because, for example, the more I started understanding the German language, I got the chance to participate a lot in the German society by listening to the news, the political news. I can follow them right and understand what are they speaking about, migration in German.
Yes.
And then I'm able also to share my personal view. If I meet people and we are talking, I say, no, well, look at this point of view. I'm a migrant, but well, this is my experience. And I think it's better to be considered as also a person with another experience, not my experience to be judged by other experiences made by other people, putting us in one basket. Mm. Yeah. So, and most times, the one thing that I really don't like when, after taking a lot of energy to learn the German language, to meet a German person and they speak to me in English. For me, that is number one microaggression. Yeah. Mm. Because when I meet you, why don't you speak to me in German? I've spent my 4 years, 5 years trying to improve this language and they're speaking to me in English. That makes me really, really, really feel hurt. I don't know what do you think you as a person when you meet someone and they speak right to you in English?
I normally, it depends on the setting, I would rather say. If someone approaches me, though, in a very friendly manner, okay? Let's assume they are quite interested in maybe knowing much about me, and they are not only going to, you know, because I've encountered such situations where someone starts speaking to you in German, and in English, I remember that was the beginning. It was easier to communicate with such people. But as time went on, I realized, you know, if you only speak with me in English, there is a certain kind of, you know, there's a certain kind of box you're trying to put me in that makes me feel like I don't have a head big and strong enough to master the German language. Yeah. Right? So this is, I started getting personal, you know, as I spent much more time here and I was trying to understand why it's actually the case. And of course, yeah, for sure, we have quite lots of people who are also like quite a number of people who are living here and are unable to speak the language. But the problem is, you know, when one puts a whole group of people in one basket, looking at them with the same eye, they probably don't understand the German language. Let me just speak either French with them or English with them. You know, such also really kind of like causes pains to the people who may be able to speak the language. And I believe, and I realize I started feeling a bit, it wasn't kind of an embarrassment, but I really felt like, as if someone was indirectly telling me, you don't belong, actually.
You don't belong, you're in certain box. Yeah, that's what I...
Yeah, ne?
Yeah, that's
or
what
you
I
can't
said.
Really ne, be a part of this society.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I said. It's kind of like microaggression where someone just discriminates you in that side by looking at you, speaking to you in English. Yeah. For example, there is a time when I was with my wife somewhere and then someone came and talked to her in German. Mm-hmm. And then that person speaks to me in English in that same moment. And I'm like, man, do you understand what you have done? I feel you have a choice to speak to me in German. And then I can respond to you in English or in German. And although I speak a wrong language, not right German, please respect the fact that I've taken an initiative. And that's the end of the story. Yeah. Because people speak to you in French. I've had the experience in the bus, someone speak to me in French. I'm like, man, I don't even understand French. I can only speak English, German, and my mother tongue.
Yes.
Why have assumptions of people speaking in a language that you think they speak, and yet they speak another language? But anyway, that was something that just came up, and I realized, okay, it's something I wanted to just share. Maybe the people who are listening to the podcast, our dear listeners, and you know that you're living in Germany and you speak German, well, it's better to speak to people in German before you speak to them in English, French, or Spanish, because that is quite a respect. You rather ask me which is the best language for you, and then I tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I'm playing my role as a person who migrated from Africa here in Germany so that I can have a better place to live, but at the same time to integrate and also learn the language. And by asking me, that makes me happy to say, okay, well, someone has considered to ask me than speak to me direct in a language I have an assumption of. Well, before we conclude, because time is against us, what do you think, what would be your kind of like advice if someone wants to really perfect the language in a foreign language, whatever? It could be your mother tongue, it could be, any language.
I would, of course, suggest that people actually got much more into contact with other people who speak the language, and also really putting it at the back of their heads that the language they are trying to learn at that moment, and in this case, like for us who live in Germany, of course, it would be like learning the German language. When you know it's not your mother tongue, but it's a language you're willing to learn, then do it without fear of making mistakes, because mistakes are a common phenomenon in life. There is no life that runs without mistakes. It's impossible. So it's the same with language. Just like we see a walking child, a child learning to walk, it can only master walking after having fallen I don't know how many times, and the child then knows, okay, I have to hold myself this way. I have to hold myself quite firm. You know, after having fallen many times, so these are the mistakes I'm talking about. Make as many mistakes as possible. Of course, it shouldn't be your first priority. Your first priority is bringing across very good information, for sure, like bringing across your message, but without fear of making mistakes, because it's just a part of it. Secondly, I would also say, you know, watching, you know, some people may say, as an adult, how do I watch a children's program on TV? But I find it's actually one of the things that could help one actually improving, you know, the language proficiency, quite fast, right? So there's also a thing of trying to read books. And if you really find you don't understand the book, of course, it depends on what kind of interests you have, but you could start with those children's books, for example, or small stories and all that. Take out the words you find you would like to learn, write them down, and look for them in the dictionary. Nowadays, we also have something here. We can also do that online. Go on Google, try to search for what that word means, and that way, of course, you would be, you know, kind of like expanding, you know, on your on your knowledge of language, right?
Yeah.
So that roughly, and I find also other things like, of course, listening to news, right? Yeah.
We not only have voices for a podcast, but also faces for YouTube. Don't miss your next episode. Hear my true story.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, music by Edwin Matovo, hosted and produced by Otako. Subscribe to our podcast for more stories and visit us on our website, hearmytruestory.com, for more stories. All the links are listed in the show notes of this podcast.